It is April 14th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today's lead story tells the demise of the Eurodollar contract, a contract I traded thousands of over my active trading career as a broker and commodity trading advisor. I remember when it first came out while I was at First American Discount Corp, and I was trying to figure out with Bill Mallers Jr. and Bill Mallers Sr. why a $1 million contract had a tick size of $25. The quarterly aspect of the product was the answer. The Eurodollar trading program I inherited from John Maddy's Defender Capital Management, Inc. was called Big Ed, which was a clever name until a men's performance problem started to monopolize the initials ED. Let's say the popularity of the big ED name sagged after that, especially as short-term interest rates moved to zero and volatility became very jumpy. I discontinued the Eurodollar program in early 2011 as the Big Ed program performance was deteriorating and I had employee turnover. I also stopped trading the Maple Sugar program as I attempted to transition my CTA from John J. Lothian & Company, Inc. to John J. Lothian Managed Futures, LLC. Unfortunately, before I could get the new company up and running with a new disclosure document, MF Global happened, and several of my clients' money was impacted. I never restarted my CTA after that, as the news business became too all-encompassing, and with the passage of Dodd-Frank, we started work on Markets Reform Wiki. In the early 2000s, the focus on interest rates moving from the long end to the short end helped the Eurodollars become the biggest open interest futures contract in the world and propelled the Chicago Mercantile Exchange past the Chicago Board of Trade in some metrics. The 30-year bond futures had been the most traded contract of the 20th century. Eurodollars took off in the 21st century, and with the introduction of the E-mini S&P, propelled the CME to its place as a global leader. Eurodollars are ending. Long live Eurodollars! The NIBA is back in person with the CTA Connection Spring event taking place on April 18th at DePaul University. The NIBA has brought this unique twist on its traditional programming with collaboration of both IB and CTA communities to further strengthen respective business development efforts and initiatives. You can see the full conference agenda and register with a link in today's newsletter. The Harvard Crimson has a story titled Harvard Affiliates Slam Ken Griffin Donation, citing support for DeSantis. It appears Mr. Griffin is getting some flack for some of the political views he has taken that are not as inclusive as some in the Harvard community would like. College campuses are a tough crowd to please. The Wall Street Journal has a short video about the unveiling of the celebratory coins for the coronation of British King Charles III. The collection features the first crowned effigy of Charles on a coin, the journal reported. The Trade's Fireside Friday story is an interview with CME Group's Michelle Everart, head of EMEA at CME Group, about the impact of market volatility, how best to manage market risk exposures, as well as trends expected to develop within the derivative space. Former JLN staffer Doug Ashburn is moderating a panel for the CAIA Association in North Carolina about the democratization of private markets at the Du Bois Center, 320 East North 9th Street, Charlotte, North Carolina, on April 20th. You can find out more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Correction, yesterday we said we interviewed CQG's Ryan Maroney and Kevin Darby. This was hugely incorrect. It was Pat Kenny, the most interesting man in the world, not Darby, no slacker himself, whom we interviewed. Bloomberg has a story about the top 25 entry-level jobs for college grads in 2023. The jobs are the most in-demand entry-level jobs with or without degree requirements, according to Indeed. Of course, if you want a high-paying job in finance, then you will want to read the story from the Wall Street Journal titled Top Colleges for High-Paying Jobs in Finance. The subheadline is New Ranking Puts MIT at Number 1 and the University of Virginia First Among Public Schools. If you want to get into the high-paying job of management consulting, you will want to go to these schools, the Wall Street Journal reports in a story titled Top Colleges for High-Paying Jobs in Management Consulting. The subheadline is Harvard Tops the List for Private Schools, Georgia Tech for Public Schools. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission Division of Enforcement New York Regional Office seeks to hire two securities compliance examiners in New York, New York. A co-founder of Apollo Capital Management, Inc. is leading a group of investors in a $6 billion bid for the Washington Commanders NFL football team. Josh Harris retired from Apollo in 2022 and is already an owner of the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers, the NHL's New Jersey Devils, and Crystal Palace FC of the English Premier League. Whenever you go to New York and Broadway, you always see Phantom of the Opera there. Not anymore. It is giving its final performance on Sunday, ending with a record-setting 13,981 shows. The New York Times reports in a story titled The Fandom of the Opera, with a subtitle, As the Phantom of the Opera ends its record-breaking Broadway run on Sunday, its most devoted followers, who call themselves fans, are mourning. The progress in setting sustainability standards by the International Accounting Standards Board, IASB, and the International Sustainability Standards Board, the ISSB, will be the highlight of the IFRS Foundations Conference 2023, June 26th to 27th at the Leonardo Royal Hotel London Tower Bridge, 45 Prescott Street, London. It's a hybrid event that can be attended either in person or online. Learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's another video from our FIA Boca coverage. U.S. President Jennifer Ilkey talks with John Lothian News about her career in finance, cash-settled contracts, and what's new. Jennifer Ilkey of ICE Futures U.S. was interviewed by John Lothian News at FIA International Futures Conference in Boca Raton, Florida, about her career, women in finance, and the latest risk management tools. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from DairyHerd.com. Crashing dirt bike to chasing cows. Scott Irwin releases new book on futures market. In Back to the Futures, agricultural economist Scott Irwin explains why it's essential to understand futures markets, whether you're talking about grain, cattle, or the largest markets of them all, crude oil. Futures markets are a mystery, says Scott Irwin, author of the new book, Back to the Futures. It is now available for pre-order and is scheduled to be released on April 19th on Amazon. In Back to the Futures, agricultural economist Scott Irwin explains why it's essential to understand futures markets, whether you're talking about grain, cattle, or the largest market of them all, crude oil. my comment. Scott Irwin is always a good read, even if he does use the oldest cliche in futures publishing for a title. Here is a story from the Financial Times. A Beginner's Guide to Accounting Fraud and How to Get Away with It, a History in the Faking. I spent most of the last two decades running a hedge fund. I had a bit of a thing for finding accounting anomalies, situations where management was saying one thing, but the numbers told a different story. For a long time, betting against these companies proved to be really profitable. I doubt many people in my position would say they choose the wrong career, but now that I've worked out how to read accounts and find it quite easy to spot signs of fraud, I have also some ideas for how we could run a good one of our own, and I'm not so sure there won't be a lot more money in that line of business, if you can call it that. My comment. Sorry, I'm already on the Advanced Guide to Fraud. The Beginner's Guide sounds like something that would have you end up in jail. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, there are no fees at America's smallest bank. There's no ATM, no website, and constant worries about being too small to survive. James A. Sammons may well be the chief executive officer of America's smallest bank, with $3 million in assets, Kentland Federal Savings and Loan is definitely the smallest member of the Independent Community Bankers of America, ICBA, a trade organization for small banks. If you Google smallest bank in America, you'll see stories about a Michigan bank with $700,000 in assets, it got bought in 2007, and a Texas bank with $2 million in deposits acquired in 2017. Perhaps most definitively, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corp was able to verify that yes, Kentland does indeed have the smallest asset base of any federally insured bank in the country. My comment. I am not sure why you would go to the smallest bank in America other than you know and trust the banker. And even then, I am not sure that is good enough. That is not a good enough reason. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The Swiss bank bailout rebellion, bank rescues are poking a political bear last awakened in 2008. Political turmoil was one consequence of the 2008 global bank panic, as voters in many countries rebelled in various ways against politicians they thought had failed to avert a crisis and then spent vast sums of taxpayer money cleaning up the damage. Recent events in Switzerland suggest the latest bailouts won't be more popular. The lower house of the Swiss parliament this week rebuffed Bern's forced merger last month of UBS and failed rival Credit Suisse. That deal included 109 billion Swiss francs, that's $120 billion, in liquidity and credit guarantees from Swiss taxpayers. My comment, there is a rule somewhere that says, don't poke the bear. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. Twitter is broken. Thanks, Elon. About 6 months ago, Elon Musk bought your favorite neighborhood bar. Then he fired veteran bouncers and bartenders, tried to stiff the landlord and at least one vendor, and demanded the regulars pay a cover charge. He's frequently struggled to serve customers, yet he penalized them for mentioning the competition. He's tamped down the revelry in general, really. A lot of conversation at his watering hole has been drowned out by Musk's own never-ending stage act, which consists mainly of him yelling dad jokes at customers through a bullhorn. My comment. Twitter is not the Twitter of old, that is for sure. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was the Wall Street Journal's The U.S. Cracked a $3.4 Billion Crypto Heist and Bitcoin Anonymity. Second was The 14 Best Beach Reads, Even If You're Not at the Beach. Also from the Wall Street Journal. third was Intelligent Investors, CME versus ASX, a cage match with only one winner. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline is, "The once mighty Eurodollar futures contract will soon be no more. Most traders have already migrated to SOFR futures and options. Remaining Eurodollar contracts will be converted on Friday." A cornerstone of the U.S. interest rate market for a generation of traders will mostly cease to exist after Friday, as part of the long-planned transition away from the scandal-plagued London Interbank offered rate borrowing benchmarks. Derivatives linked to them will also be phased out. That means that Eurodollar futures and options, for decades the bread and butter of those wagering on Federal Reserve decisions or hedging moves in short-term interest rates, will soon be gone. Friday is when CME Group, the exchange operator that lists the contracts, will convert those expiring after June to futures and options on the secured overnight financing rate, which have overtaken Eurodollars in trading volume. SOFR is a relatively new benchmark that officials favor as a successor to LIBOR in dollar funding markets. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. LSE Group joins battle between exchanges for crypto derivatives. UK group to put futures and option deals through French clearing arm. The London Stock Exchange Group plans to begin clearing crypto derivatives, joining the battle among the world's big derivatives exchanges to grab a slice of rising institutional demand to trade digital assets. The UK group will use the Paris arm of its clearing subsidiary, LCH, to manage the risks on Bitcoin futures and options traded on GFO-X, a UK-regulated marketplace, the company said on Thursday. And then finally, here's another story from the Financial Times. The headline, "Investors trapped in Canadian ETFs after trading ban. Emerge Canada fund suspended following failure to file financial statements." Investors in a suite of Canadian exchange-traded funds faced being trapped for an extended period after regulators imposed an indefinite trading ban on the funds. Both primary and secondary market trading has been suspended in 11 ETFs after their sponsor, Emerge Canada, failed to file audited financial statements by a March 31st deadline. The cease trade order imposed by the Ontario Securities Commission means that both the creation and redemption of shares in the funds has been halted, and that existing investors cannot sell their units to other investors in the secondary market. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.